It is time for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's roving, wandering, adventurous, intrepid reporter. Ruth, what's going on out there?
Well, we had Valentine's Day, we have President's Day, we have all kinds of good stuff going on this week. Started off on Sunday night with the Camp Republican Town Committee's Lincoln Day Dinner, which is an annual event. This year it was attended heavily because of the upcoming election in November. So there were many candidates out there. There were gubernatorial candidates, three of them, who were vying for the seat that Ned Lamont cu currently holds. So we had Aaron Stewart, who is the former mayor of New Britain. We have Ryan Fazio, who is a state senator down in the southern part of the state, and Betsy McCoy, who is the former lieutenant governor of New York under George Pataki, and who she grew up in Connecticut and now lives in Connecticut, but was a lawmaker in New York. They, of course, spoke about the issues that they're most interested in. McCoy's big thing is eliminating the income tax. Aaron Stewart spoke about the housing issue, and against Lamont's housing policies. Fazio again was talked about the high tax rate and the high electricity rates and all those things that need to be addressed should he become governor. Also in attendance were people vying for the fifth congressional seat currently held by Johanna Hayes. That would be Chris Shea, in a let me get this straight. There were so many people, and this, by the way, was held at Bull's Bridge Inn, so it was trying to get between salads and main courses and trying to reach out to people a little bit chaotic, but we got it. John DeBarros and Chris Shea, who are running for the congressional seat, along with Michelle Botello from Danbury. And then we had the candidate for treasurer, Fred Wilms. As I say, it was an interesting evening, lots of rhetoric, lots of speeches, lots of cheers, and lots of anti-democratic messages. So I'm not sure. Well, I'm sure there are going to be primaries. I don't know the time frame. Do you, Mike?
I'm not sure of the exact time frame this year, so I would have to look that up, to be honest with you.
So I mean, usually it's some time in the summer.
Well, that's primaries. If they go to
Yeah,
primaries, they
if
one
they
of the things they
primary.
always complained about is primaries come so late in the season that when you come out of one, it's hard to make a campaign come together by election day. So
Yeah, well, that's why they're on the trail now.
they like to get it done at the caucuses, the conventions that will occur. I'm going to say roughly
That's usually
June-ish.
August.
No, I think they're more like June, a little earlier, but
Oh,
I'll have
caucus.
to.
Okay, so primaries would be earlier than that.
No,
Okay.
primaries
Yeah.
are always later because anybody who doesn't win at a convention or a caucus or anyone who gets a certain percentage and wants to go ahead and try and get the nomination that was recommended by the party at large then goes to the primaries, which is the
Okay.
vote of all the people in the party pertaining to the area it pertains to. So it's a long track from one to the other, and then of course off to election day.
Right. Yeah. Which
I hope
is
nobody gets
November 3rd, I believe, this
this
year.
year. Yeah, I'm not even sure of that one
I
either.
think that's what they said.
Wow.
As I said, it was a little difficult covering this one.
Yeah, that place gets real crowded real quick
Yeah, it was crowded. It was kind of dark. It was, but we hopefully prevailed. So we did get to meet most of them. We also had a the Chocolate Fest here in Kent, which was a big success. That's put on by the Kent Center School Scholarship Fund. That was on the 11th, February 11th. Rows and rows of chocolate and brownies and cookies and candy and chocolate fountain and lollipops and you name it. But it's a fun event, nice, high-spirited, and it raises money for the scholarship fund. To date, it's the well, this was the 29th annual fest, and the scholarship fund goes way back though into the 19, I believe 19, late 1960s, and since its inception has raised $2 million for scholarship for students who attend Kent Center School at least through 7th and 8th grade. This year, they had 35 students. The grants range from, well, the average grant is about 2,500. They some are higher, those going for postgraduate,
Postgraduate.
and they raised their, as I say, they have raised money through an appeal letter and through the redemption of bottles and cans, which was started many, many years ago, and to date has raised $233,000 from plastic bottles and glass and can bottles and cans, which is pretty
That is
amazing.
virtuous, I have to say. That's terrific.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And so these kids, well, it's a concerted effort. The whole town really comes out, and they, rather than depositing their bottles and cans, give it to the fund. For the most part, there's a big buckets at the transfer station. People deliver, bring them there, and some volunteers go and put them through machines. And as I say, that's raised a lot of money for a lot of kids.
Well,
And
it's always amazed me. I know at our transfer station, how many bottles that people have paid deposits on that they simply just throw into the recycle bin and never get their money back.
yep.
Well, it's interesting. Full disclosure, my husband Ed started this whole thing, and many, many years ago, and when it was a nickel, obviously, and they all the folks thought, wow, when it becomes a dime, people are really going to take up themselves. That's, more money for them, double their money. Well, didn't happen. The
No,
they were
and
still getting tremendous amounts of donations, so that's pretty good.
it won't, because look at today. No one gets into the big lottery until it reaches $1 billion. So what's 10
Yeah,
cents?
but
What's 10
also,
cents?
and we had this, and that's why I'm saying fuller disclosure. For a kid who is now, 18, but when he was much younger, like 6, all he ever saw was his mother swipe. So we talked, and he did have a piggy bank and so forth, but the connection to a nickel or to getting something back, became so. I'm good job, Mr. Epstein, and it's an interesting connection because I would say you could line up 10 people unscientifically, and ask them if they get their money back on the recyclables, and I don't know how many are going to say yes.
Well,
I mean, it's just that it is that. It's that far away and that disconnected.
yeah,
So
it's very
it's
interesting. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
and might be worth looking into in some other places that are trying to raise money for something, because again, I think you've got a pretty wide I think there's a pretty wide field there.
Well,
Anyway.
it's very interesting. Yeah, I was talking to somebody who walks the roads constantly picking up cans and bottles, and it's enough for a monthly dinner out. I mean,
There you go.
the roadsides are full. People just,
I think part of what drives it too is that to get rid of them at a dispenser, the machines they have, they're so limited around here. And more often than not, a lot of times you go there and the thing is full, so you can't use it anyway. So it just ends up
That's
going
that too.
into the hopper at the transfer station, and somebody else can get the money or not.
Where does the
Right.
money go
I
to at
wonder who.
Salisbury, Mike?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Where does that money go to at Salisbury for recyclables?
Money?
Do
The
they?
transfer station, probably.
But who gets the, who reaps the benefits of?
Of the deposit bottle? Most of them are just thrown into the thing and they go in with the normal recycling. Nobody
Oh,
gets
I mean
anything.
they're not.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, is that people just toss them into the bin because there's no place even there. And that's interesting to me as well, that at the transfer station, there are no machines to exchange for anything, those bottles. So they just go into the regular recycle stream and nobody gets.
Oh, I thought somebody was collecting them or something. No.
No,
No,
no.
that's
The
why I'm saying.
people used to stand there and do that up at the old transfer station, but since we moved to the new one a number of years ago, they prohibit people from doing that. So they just go right into the stream, and I don't know who gets that dime that's out there, but whoever it got paid to in the first place is keeping it.
Well, we have quite a system down here in Kent, and I think Cornwall does that. They save them at the transfer station. I think the scouts or somebody gets them eventually, but it's certainly a stream of money that could be used, and not to speak of saving the environment.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
Not
absolutely.
to speak of connecting again, connecting. It's a really good idea, and maybe your husband should give a talk or something. Just
Oh,
mention it.
he's done that. And believe me, we have the for those who may not know, there is the Ed Epstein Recycling Center sign at the IGA with his photo on it. And
That's
everybody
great.
knows where the money should be going.
Belong a long time ago. Okay, go on. No.
Yeah, and
And
there's a lot of money out there because they've recently, over the past 5 years or so, expanded it out to cover a lot more
oh,
than what it
absolutely.
used to. And
Absolutely.
so many
Juice
of these things,
bottles and
and even these, I think these crinkly little bottles that hold up real nice until you take the pressure off them, all have a deposit on them too.
It's actually, and I will have hats off to the volunteers who have helped. I mean, it's amazing.
Oh, absolutely. But I think there's a lot more out there to go along. So anybody, if you want something, a way to fundraise, think about that. Look
That's what
around
I
your
was
town
saying.
and, look around because it's possibly there. And
Absolutely,
if you have a
absolutely.
transfer station that's not sorting that out, ask them if you can put a place in there for people to sort it out, and the money goes to whatever organization you have going.
Yeah, that's
How
why our
come you didn't just jump on that like 5 minutes ago when I said that?
Well,
I'm sorry.
First cup of coffee is not done, so brain's
Okay.
not completely
Yes, it's a
functioning.
good
It's
idea.
like the gas tank is low, and I got a little water in the gas. So, okay, so
Okay.
let's see
So,
what else
what
is
else?
coming up.
Kent is mourning this week the passing of one of our dear residents, Rob Kennedy. Rob was known to everyone in town. He was challenged. But he made the most of his life, and the town has embraced him, had embraced him incredibly. Rob was known, he didn't drive, so he rode his bike, and he lived in North Kent, and he rode in every kind of weather. Everybody knew Rob. When his bike, he became an honorary member, sort of the fire department, an emergency member, whatever they called him. And when his bike failed, the fire department members chipped in and bought him a new bike with a flashing light to make it safer for him. He was an assistant coach at Kent school football team. They embraced him there. He did jobs for them, was responsible, always showed up, always in talking to people. I mean, the outpouring on social media was like 700 comments. He worked at the local IGA. He was just known all over town. He died suddenly last Monday, and as I say, the town is really in mourning for him, and there will be a celebration of life May 9th, his family has said. So it's really quite is a pall over the town, as I say. And looking ahead, we have this week a the talk on the Kent Historical Society and the Kent Library team up, and the not the the senior center, excuse me, the senior center and the yeah, I guess the library team up and put on talks. And this week they're going to do it on the Quality Thrift Shop, which has been in existence for years and years. And here again, we're talking about a nonprofit giving money to organizations. The shop has been, it was started by the Congregational Church. It's now quite ecumenical. Tons of people volunteer there. It is a little gem of a place. People love it. They find all kinds of wonderful things there. And as I say, they have given out money. They give out tons of money every month to all these organizations. So it'll be interesting to hear. That's going to be at the Senior Center on the 18th at 11 o'clock. So people, I'm sure, will be coming to that. And looking ahead, we have just as this is out of the region, but it's of interest, the League of Women Voters, they're holding their annual breakfast on February 28th. And that's where State Senator Steve Harding and State Rep Maria Horn will be speaking. And we're getting into the political season, folks. So, and that just, you can go online and make your reservations for that breakfast. It's going to be held at, and I can't pronounce this, Camp Kacha. It's called Camp Koch, but it's in Goshen. It's got a long Indian name. And
Interesting.
the league has often done these around the area. We've had them here in this region. This time it's in Goshen.
Yeah, and I know we had a press release from the league about this, and they actually said to receive the Goshen location, you needed to RSVP to LitchfieldLWV.org. So you're telling me the location, which I didn't even know.
Yeah, it's camp, as I say, it's off Beach Street, I believe. So I'm gonna have to scout that one out. I
That's fine,
don't
but just
know.
remember RSVP.
And RSVP, or you won't get your eggs or
Right.
whatever. Yeah.
That's not until February 28th,
That's the 28th.
9:30 a.m. Yeah.
Is it
Oh,
9:30? Okay, great.
9:30, yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah, like I said, we run a PSA on that, and what was interesting, it said that you had to RSVP to receive the Goshen location. They weren't giving the location out.
okay.
I'm
Well, we
like,
spilled the
really?
beans. We spilled the
So
beans.
maybe they didn't get
Yes.
enough RSPs, decided to give the location out.
Well, that's
And
it.
also that same day, later in the evening, the will be the 51st annual FFA alumni meeting. That's where the folks who went through the program come and get together. FFA meaning the VOAG program at the high school, basically. That's going to be at the Falls Village Firehouse. Social begins at 6:30, dinner at 7, and then they have a business meeting. And there again, these are folks, I mean, who have gone through Housatonic years, many years ago, and come up through, and they still have it's a dear connection to this organization, a strong one. It's very interesting to see how passionate they are about this organization and continue and help the kids as they're coming up and the current kids. So there again, RSVP to Sarah Jack at the high school for that one.
And what was the date on that again?
That's February 28th. So the League of Women Voters is
Okay,
the
this is
morning
okay.
and the
Yep.
FFA is in
This
the
is two
evening.
Saturdays, down the road. Not this
Yeah.
coming Saturday, but the week after that, just
Right.
so nobody
Yeah.
goes too early. So, all
Right.
right, folks, believe it or not, we have already reached the end of the line and more. So, anything else to say, or shall we take this show on out the back door?
If we are at the end of the line, I think we better say thank you, Ruth. As always, keep searching. This has been What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's Intrepid. wandering, adventurous reporter on Robin Hood Radio.